Good morning. Welcome again to Good News Bible Chapel, especially to everybody who is here this morning and to those who are viewing us online. We want to welcome everybody here again to Good News Bible Chapel. It's been a pleasure to have read the first five books of the Bible together with you this fall and now to explore those prophecies from Moses. And so today we are going to finish up our series, Christmas According to Moses, and it was a pleasure to be able to partner with Mike Link from New Covenant Christian Fellowship to do that. And what so far what we've been discovering in this series is that ever since the beginning of time, ever since the beginning of the world, God has actually been giving humanity a hope. A hope that was previously wrapped in a mystery, but there was time over time you see a little bit more clearly and a little bit more what it was that God was giving this hope to humanity about that we get to see now a lot more clearly now that Christ has come. Sometimes this hope was given in very explicit promises. Sometimes we saw it in a pattern. And each one of those prophetic promises tells us something about how this world is broken and how God is going to fix it. So far, we've heard Moses talking about a talking donkey. We've heard him talking about a talking snake. We've heard him talk about some sort of lion figure. And I got to be honest with you, the storyline that Moses is giving us about what's wrong with the world and how to fix it sounds a little bit too fantastic for me. I've never seen an untrained animal talk before. Has anybody here ever seen that? Did I see a hand go up? That was somebody scratching their face. Okay. I was a little worried for a second. Why in the world should I even consider Moses' storyline about what's wrong with the world and how there's going to be this future someone, this future second Adam, this person who's going to reign and is going to fix everything and recover paradise for us? I think we could all agree that there's something wrong with the world, and we could all agree that we desperately want that to be resolved. But the problem is, humanity doesn't actually agree on what's holding humanity back. And as a result, many don't know how it is that we might actually escape and be set free. All right? There's a lot of narratives out there about, and there's a lot of storylines out there that you get to choose from that could actually gives us a diagnosis of what's wrong with the world and the problem that's holding us back and the solution on how to recover paradise. Think about it. The psychologists, they have their storyline about what's wrong with the world and how to fix it, right? Go to the politicians, and guess what? They have their storyline, maybe more government or whatever. That's what's going to solve the world's problems. Medical professionals have their storylines. When you go to your doctor, they're always telling you to go eat right and exercise, right? And that's going to bring you closer to that place that you hope for in their minds. The ACLU has their storyline. Economists have their storyline. Environmentalists have their storyline about what's wrong with the world and how it is we can have this great future hope in front of us, how to make a world better and have a paradise. Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, they have their own storylines about how to escape this world, right? They want to get in a rocket ship and go elsewhere. That's their storyline. The problem is Earth. We got to get out of here. All right? Everyone on the internet and everyone off of the internet has their particular narrative that diagnoses the problem and how it is that we can escape that. All right, there's a lot of people have weighed in on what it is that's been broken in the world and how to fix it. So the question is for us this morning, which one is right? Is it the loudest one? Is that we just find out whatever the loudest storyline is and they tell us what it is that's wrong with the world and how to fix it? Is that how we determine it? Is it the one with the most people? Just follow along with the wisdom of the crowds. Is that the way we figure out what's wrong with the world and how to fix it? Is the best storyline the one with the best feelings? Is that the one that we should go with? What about the one that has the most logic? Is that the storyline that's got it right? Can man even come up with the right storyline for why everything's broken? Should we just pick and choose from all the little storylines about how to go forward in this world and recover paradise for us? Should we just look to ourselves personally to do that and make that choice? Or should we actually be seeking to discover what God's narrative is? And if that's the case, what does God say is the real story about what's wrong with the world and how it is we can fix it? Now, the good news is we aren't the first people to struggle with this. The people back in Moses' day did as well. So I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 18. The book of Deuteronomy and chapter 18. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a series of three sermons that Moses gave just before he died. On the whole nation of Israel had gone through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and they're on the precipice of entering into the promised land, okay? And just before they go in, Moses gives them three sermons, and then he dies, and then the people go into the promised land, okay? So these are Moses' last words to the nation. Mike talked last week about Jacob's last words to his sons. All right, people's final words are oftentimes very significant, aren't they? P.T. Barnum famously said to his wife, "Nancy, I want you to know my last thoughts are of you." All right, I heard General John Sedgwick, he was telling his men, they were under sniper fire, and he told his men, these snipers, they couldn't hit an elephant from this distance. Again, those were his last words. So here is Moses' last words, and they're very significant. And this, he's given these three sermons, and this is the second sermon. Chapter 18 is in the second sermon. It's actually his longest of the three sermons in the book of Deuteronomy, and he's teaching this new generation of Israelites who are going to go occupy the land, how it is that they can go into the land and live faithfully in covenant with the Lord their God. And in the midst of that sermon, Moses tells the nation how it is they can actually determine which storyline is the true narrative from God. And he warns the nation that there's going to be a lot of people already living in the promised land who are going to be claiming to speak for God already. It wasn't a pristine paradise. There were other nations already there that they were going to have to go in and dispossess. And some of those nations had their own storylines. There's going to be omen readers. There's going to be diviners, there's going to be soothsayers, there's going to be sorcerers, and there are going to be people who conjure up spirits and practice the occult. And look with me in verse 14, this is what he says there in Deuteronomy 18, verse 14. He says, those nations that you are about to dispossess listen to omen readers and diviners, but the Lord your God has not given you permission to do such things. All right? Moses is warning the nation that those people are claiming to speak for God, but they're not true words from the Lord. They're false. Their narratives aren't from God. However, in Israel, it's going to be different. Listen to what Moses says. Look with me there in verse 15. He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. This accords with what happened at Horeb. Mount Horeb was Mount Sinai. Okay, and so something took place 40 years earlier when they're out in the desert at Mount Sinai. And this is what Moses said happened there. He says, this accords with what happened at Mount Horeb in the day of the assembly. You asked the Lord your God, please don't make us hear the voice of the Lord. Remember, God came down. He was on the top of the mountain, and the people were at the bottom, and they were like fearful because of the trumpets and the loudness, and they were just they were just awestruck by the terror of the Lord. And so they didn't want to go up there and listen. So they, what did they do? They wanted Moses. They wanted somebody else to go up the mountain. So Moses is telling them about this from 40 years later. He's ready to go into the prom. The people are ready. He's reminding them, this is what took place. He says, you asked the Lord your God, please don't make us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this great fire anymore, lest we die. The Lord then said to me, verse 17, the Lord then said to me, Moses, what they have said is good. I will raise up a prophet like you for them from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them whatever I command. I will personally hold responsible anyone who pays no attention to the words that prophet speaks in my name. But if any prophet presumes to speak anything in my name that I have not authorized him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die. Now, if you say to yourselves, how can we tell that a message is not from the Lord? Whenever a prophet speaks in my name and the prediction is not fulfilled, then I have not spoken it. The prophet has presumed to speak it, so you need not fear him. Okay? Moses is saying God doesn't speak through the sorcerers and the soothsayers and the occult practitioners. Moses is saying that God speaks through prophets. That's how you can know who's giving the storyline of the living God. Now, what is a prophet? The primary responsibility of a prophet was to speak to the people on behalf of God. They were responsible for telling the people God's perspective and what's wrong with the world and how it was they needed to change their lives according to what God wanted and how God was going to fix the world. They were the authorized people in Israel to declare God's message with God's authority. Now, there were a number of requirements that you had to have in order to be a prophet. First of all, they had to be Israelites. They needed to be from among the nation of Israel. And second, they have to speak in the name of the Lord. They cannot speak in the name of another god. In fact, they can only speak because God actually gave that particular person, that prophet, his words into their mouth so that they would speak it. They weren't supposed to use divination or human wisdom or ingenuity. It was something that was a gift from God to a person to then to share with others. It had to be from God. It had to have its origins in God, that God was the one who initiated the process by which a prophet was going to share to the people God's message. And it was Israel's job to test the prophets, okay? If they were false prophets, those people needed to be put to death. People who assumed to say things about the Lord that weren't true, they needed to die. Now, there were three tests that Israelites could use to actually determine if somebody was a prophet or not. The first test was the revelation test, okay? And what do I mean by that? The revelation test is actually the most important thing. Whatever the prophet was saying had to be in alignment with what God had already said in earlier times. A prophet couldn't claim to speak the words of the Lord and then contradict what God had already said. Okay? If he says it's wrong to tell a lie and then a prophet comes along and says, no, you can tell people whatever you want, including lies, that was not a prophet. So whatever God had said before was going to be in agreement with what God was going to say later on. All right? So this was an important test because the most important aspect of a prophet's ministry was that they were to live with integrity, their lives had to match up, and they needed to teach in strict conformity with and agreement with the previously certified revelations of God through Moses and the prophets that preceded them. Everyone, including the prophets, were subject to the word of God. Now, if a prophet clearly contradicted what God had previously revealed, they were rejected. There was not the storyline of the Lord. They were a false prophet. Now, the second test that they had to pass was the prediction test. The prediction test. What did Moses say in verse 21? Look with me in your Bibles. It says, now if you say to yourselves, how can we tell that a message is not from the Lord? Whenever a prophet speaks in my name and the prediction is not fulfilled, then I have not spoken it. The prophet presumed to speak it, so you need not fear him. Okay? According to the Bible, only the living God has the ability to predict the future. Only God can do that. If someone came along and proclaimed themselves a prophet and claimed to be speaking a message from the Lord, those prophets and those people oftentimes included a surprising prediction about a future event. They had special knowledge about something that was hidden in mystery, okay? And that would serve to the people of that day. They could see that this prediction came forward, and then they would know that what that guy was saying was from the Lord, since only God can predict the future. But if their prophecy didn't come true, that prediction about the future didn't come true, they were guilty of being a false prophet. They were to be killed. They were no longer prophets of God. You had to have a 100% success rate in predicting the future in order to be a prophet of God. You couldn't have any errors in any of your predictions. Okay? So there weren't very many people who got a message from the Lord and prophesied in the name of the Lord. Okay? It was a very risky thing to claim to be speaking for God. Just this week, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine from the last town that I served in there in Kansas. And one of the other ministers in town is one of these kind of guys that likes to predict the future and proclaim things and claims to be a prophet. And all of his prophecies have been coming true. He's been telling people, you're not going to die, and then they die. He's not a prophet of the Lord, right? Like, he's, according to the Scripture's own definition of what a prophet is like, you have to have a 100% rate of success in prophesying about the future. Now, sometimes, so there's the two tests. You got the revelation test and the prediction test, and sometimes you would get a third test that Israel could use to determine that a message given to the people on behalf of the Lord was actually through this prophet in particular. And this test happened to be the issue of miracles. So turn with me, keep your finger there in chapter 18. We're going to come right back. But go with me to chapter 34 in the book of Deuteronomy, to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, in verse 10, chapter 34 and verse 10. We're going to come right back to 18 in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10 says this: no prophet ever again arose in Israel like Moses, who knew the Lord face to face. He did all the signs and wonders the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, all his servants, and the whole land. And he displayed great power and awesome might in view of all of Israel. So this is clearly telling us that Moses is a prophet, okay? He spoke what the Lord God told him to speak. In fact, he actually spoke face to face with God, okay? He was unique among the prophets in that he was a prophet that spoke face to face with God. Most of the prophets would receive a vision in the night or during the daytime. They would see something and hear something at the very same time. You had both of these elements happening. So maybe it was a dream at night that they saw and heard, and or they had a vision while they were awake, and they would know this was from the Lord, and then they would proclaim that message. Moses was unique. He actually spoke to God face to face. Okay. Not only that, but Moses was unique in that he was a leader prophet. Most of the prophets after him were not leaders ruling in any particular way over the nation. But Moses was also a leader as a prophet, and he was unique because he performed a huge number of miracles. There were a number of miraculous signs and wonders performed in view of the whole nation of Egypt and in view of the whole nation of Israel. Everyone can see those signs. Now, I want to be really clear. Moses himself did not have the superpowers to turn sticks into snakes. He didn't have the ability to perform all those plagues in Egypt. Okay, he was a man. He was normal human being, just like you, just like me, okay? There was nothing in him that could split the Red Sea. He couldn't make manna rain down from heaven or make water flow out of rocks. It was actually God's power that performed all of those miraculous signs and wonders. And since only the living God could do those extraordinary activities, they prove that the messages that Moses gave to the people were truly from God. Okay? Miracles in the Bible are signs to get people's attention, that what this particular person is saying is true and accurate. They're God's stamp of authenticity, that a particular person's message is truly from God. Now, these three tests are really important for our question this morning. How can we determine which storyline is the true narrative from God? Why should we believe Moses about what's wrong with the world and how it can be fixed? Well, it's because God himself has proved with numerous miracles that Moses was his authorized prophet to speak on behalf of God to the people. I got the miracles listed there in your handout. There's in the neighborhood of 22 to 42 miracles associated with Moses, depending on how you count them. No one in all of the Hebrew Bible comes close to the magnitude of what God did through Moses. There's nobody else in the Old Testament that did all of these kind of miraculous signs. Moses is the most distinguished prophet of the Old Testament. He spoke to God face to face. He was a leader prophet, and he did these miracles. And it's perfectly reasonable for us today to ask, okay, how in the world can we begin to figure out which storyline is correct? And God's telling us only the people who are doing activities that only God can do have the message that demonstrate that he's speaking through them. Moses was one of these people. In world history, there's not many of these people. Moses is one of these people. Now, in Moses' time, people still had this question. Is Moses really the unique one that we should pay attention to as if he's got the word of the Lord? Okay? Even Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam challenged Moses' role as the one who was to be doing these things. And God defended Moses. He gave Miriam leprosy and said, I'm speaking through him, not you. Okay? Moses is God's authorized prophet. And we can trust Moses' storyline about what's wrong with the world and how to escape the problems of this world because the Lord has authorized him through these miracles. And we can understand that what he said was true. It's believable material. It's believable, okay, because of these great things that were done in his lifetime. Now, you might say, that's great, Pete. But what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, I'm really glad you asked. Look with me again there in Deuteronomy 18. You got to see this for yourself. Look with me at verse 15. It says, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me. This is Moses speaking. A prophet like me from among you, from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. Look with me there, verse 17. The Lord said to me, verse 18, I will raise up. This is the Lord giving this prophecy to Moses, and now he's telling the nation. He says, I will raise up a prophet like you for them from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them whatever I command. Did you hear that? God told Moses personally that he's going to raise up a future great prophet like Moses himself, who's going to speak on behalf of God. He's going to be an Israelite. He's going to speak God's words, and he's going to be really important. And the central characteristic about this future coming prophet that's going to come after Moses' time is that he is going to have this great authority with the things that he actually says. But he's going to be like Moses. He's not going to be like any of the old, Old Testament prophets. He's not just going to be a regular prophet who had dreams and visions and predicted the future. He's going to be unique like Moses was unique. Okay? And how was it that Moses was unique? We already said he was a leader prophet. He spoke to God face to face, and he did a huge number of miracles. And when you track all of the miracles in the Bible, you discover there's only one other person in all of history who performs numerous miraculous signs on the scale of Moses, and his name is Jesus. When Jesus came on the scene, people had been looking for this great prophet like Moses for 1,434 years. The Qumran community, have you maybe ever heard of the Qumran documents that get discovered in some caves? Guess what? We looked at their writings. They were looking for this second Moses figure, 1,400 years after Moses. Nobody had compared to Moses, and they were looking for him. The Samaritans in Jesus' day, they were looking for this great prophet. Good, Moses-believing Jews in the first century came up and asked John the Baptist if he was that prophet, but he wasn't that prophet. And then Jesus showed up. And he performed massive numbers of miracles. He opened the eyes of the blind. He made the deaf hear. He made the lame to walk again. He cleansed the lepers. He calmed the storm. He walked on the water. He performed hordes of exorcism. He even raised three people from the dead. Whole crowds of people came to him and got healed. But Jesus didn't just perform miracles. He was like Moses in so many other ways as well. Look with me at your handouts that I gave for you this morning. And you're going to see a whole number of ways in which Jesus is just like Moses, okay? They both instituted the Passover, right? What did Moses do? Get ready. We're going to leave. Do the Passover. They leave Egypt. Jesus, on the night in which he was going to be betrayed, it was the Passover. He celebrated the Passover. That's what he instituted, the Lord's Supper, what we just did this morning. Okay? Guess what? Both Moses and Jesus provided bread from heaven. They both changed water into something. Moses changed water into blood. Jesus changed water into wine. They both survived 40 days of extreme fasting without food, without water. They both survived in being killed by a ruler when they were born. Moses had Pharaoh trying to kill off all the infants. Jesus had Herod trying to kill off all the infants. They both launched brand new missions for their followers right after they departed. And they both were rejected by many people in their day. But Jesus wasn't just like Moses. He was actually greater than Moses. Moses experienced unusual intimacy with God. But guess what? When you read the New Testament, you find out that Jesus is God and that he was with God for all of eternity. And he only spoke God the Father's words that God the Father gave to him. Moses gave the nation of Israel the law of the Lord on Mount Sinai, but when Jesus came, he gave us a higher law in the Sermon on the Mount. Moses prayed earnestly for Israel when God wanted to kill the entire nation for their sin, and he saved the day. But when Jesus prayed, he rose up and he died for the sins of every nation and saved the world. Moses delivered people from the bonds of slavery in Egypt, but Jesus delivers people from a lifetime of a slavery to sin. Moses helped nationalize a covenant with Israel, but the nation broke its promises, and then Jesus came along and he made a new and better covenant. Moses went up to the mountain, and when he came back down, his face shone so bright they had to put a veil over his face. But when Jesus went up the mountain, he and his clothes were both transfigured in brilliant light. Jesus is the greater than Moses, prophet like Moses. He's the ultimate prophet. He is the ultimate leader prophet. He's the prophet of prophets. And guess what? As soon as Jesus died and rose again and ascended into heaven, the earliest followers of Jesus, they went around proclaiming that Jesus was the fulfillment of Moses' great prophet, like Moses, prediction that Moses gave 1,400 years earlier. So on the one hand, you got Moses, and on the other hand, you have Jesus. So what's the significance of all of this? Remember, the problem is humanity doesn't agree on what's holding humanity back. And as a result, many don't know how we can be able to escape and be set free and get to paradise. Okay? There's lots of people who have weighed in on how that can happen. There's a lot of narratives out there, even now, to choose from. Which storyline? They all give their diagnosis, what's the problem, and they all say, here's how to get out of it and recover paradise. However, Christians believe, and they derive their narrative from the Bible because we believe in the multiplicity of miracles associated with Moses, along with all of the miracles that were associated with Jesus, authenticate that the Bible storyline is the one true narrative for all of humanity from God. No matter how unbelievable you think those two guys were, they both carried God's message for humanity and what's holding us back and how we can escape all the problems in this world and how we're sinners and we need this somebody to come along and rescue us. And they both point to Jesus Christ. Both Moses and Jesus point to Jesus. Now, in light of all of that, what does that mean for us today? Well, what did Moses say? Look with me in your Bibles in verse 15 of chapter 18 in Deuteronomy there. You've been there the whole time. Let's just look at verse 15. It says, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. Now that word listen means more than just hearing. Okay, it means hearing the message and obeying it. You have to listen so much so that you actually do what this great prophet is telling you to do. And then God says later in verse 19, look with me in verse 19, I will personally hold responsible anyone who then pays no attention to the words that prophet speaks in my name. God told Moses that listening to this great future prophet that we now know as Jesus, he says that listening isn't optional. You have to listen to him. You cannot not listen. In fact, God's so serious that people listen to this guy that he's going to hold people personally responsible for rejecting his message. This means that we have to listen to the prophet who listens to God. And because Jesus is the ultimate prophet and because he's God in the flesh, we have to listen to Jesus. He's the second Moses. He's the ultimate Moses. He's the greater than Moses, prophet like Moses, and his words are more important than Moses. Look, these are some of Moses' last words before he dies. They're his final prophecy to the nation. Do you realize what this means? If Moses knew the solemnity of rejecting this prophet and he couldn't die without making sure everybody that was alive in his lifetime knew about it, you and I would be foolish to reject the ultimate prophet now that we know that it's Jesus. It would be huge if we just rejected what he said. You don't understand how solemn this judgment could be if we reject this message. If you're here and you have been exploring this whole Christianity thing, I beg of you to listen to Jesus. It's not enough to hear his words and observe the miracles. You have to act on what he says. He says, change your mind. He says, turn around, repent, go in a new direction in your life. Change your life. Do what he tells you to do. Believe he is who he says he is. Believe that he really did die on the cross for your sins and rose the third day. Believe him when he says he can raise you from the dead and give you eternal life and forgive you of your sins. Listen to Jesus. I beg of you, look at the evidence for yourself. Read the Gospel of John. If you've been exploring Christianity and you're hearing this and you want to listen to Jesus this week, you get this Bible. All right, if you don't have a Bible, you can go to the offering box right over there, and I have these. It's the Gospel of John. I want you to read the Gospel of John this week. Just listen to Jesus. Just listen to him for yourself. Commit yourself to him, and he will commit himself to saving you. Listen to Jesus. I beg of you, just listen to him. He really is the answer to all that's broken in this world and broken inside of us. And he's the only one who can fix us and fix the world. Don't ignore all the miracles. Don't ignore all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Don't ignore all the eyewitness evidence. If God brought Israel up from Egypt with all those miracles, and then God also is the same God who rose Jesus from the dead, then surely you and I can know that the storyline we got from Moses and the storyline we get from Jesus is the one true narrative about what's wrong with this world and how it is that we can get to paradise. Christians aren't making this stuff up. All we're doing is listening as best as we can and believing and doing what Jesus tells us to do. And the great tragedy of Moses is that the very people that he rescued out of Egypt didn't listen to him. Today, an even greater tragedy occurs when people hear the words of Jesus Christ, they have access to the Bible, and they don't listen. They don't listen to the greater than Moses prophet like Moses. And if you're here and you are been exploring this stuff and you've never really given your heart to Jesus and really listened to him for yourself, you need to wrestle with the serious consequences of not listening to Jesus if that's what you decide to do. God said you're going to be held personally responsible by God himself for rejecting God's words through Jesus on how to get saved. Don't let this day pass without resolving to trust in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here and you are already a Christian, I want to encourage you to listen to the prophet who listens to God. Listen to Jesus. Stop worrying about all the other narratives out there, how we're all going to die, and, well, we can stop dying. We're going to die anyways. Okay? Only Jesus can raise you from the... Stop worrying. You don't have to dabble in all the storylines out there describing what's wrong with the world and how to fix it. Just listen to the prophet who listens to God as he tells you what the narrative is and how it is you need to live. Just rest. Can you just take a break from all that storyline and narratives out there and just rest in God's story? Just rest, Christian, in God's story. And second, if you're here and you're already a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to literally listen to Jesus. Your homework assignment this week is to read the Sermon on the Mount. It's three chapters. Write this down. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5 through 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's your homework assignment. Read it. Listen to Jesus. Really listen to what he says. Really listen and believe it so much so you do it. Make it your life project to to do what Jesus tells us to do. Ladies, you are in luck. Deb DuPlessis is going to be leading a study on the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to go further with that, get in touch with Deb DuPlessis this week. But just imagine for a second, if you make your lifelong project to listen to Jesus, just imagine for a second coming before God at the end of your life and you say, you know what? God, you can see my life. I actually listened to Jesus. I believed him so much so I went in another direction. I actually changed how I lived. I did what he said to do. I believed him. By faith, I lived the way you told him to tell me to live. Can you imagine coming before God and him being able to say, I got all this evidence. I know you listened to Jesus as best you could. You really believed him. You really trusted him. Here's all the fruit from all that. That's what it's going to be like if you listen to Jesus for your entire life. Just a week ago at the men's breakfast, I had the pleasure of being able to do the lesson that morning. And all I did was very simply had one verse. It was one verse, a statement by Jesus during his ministry. And for 30 minutes, I made the guys write down 30 observations on that one phrase that Jesus said. Just wanted them to listen to Jesus. And it had a profound effect on me. Just sitting there with them, listening to Jesus. And as I listened, it felt like the weight of the world was just lifted off of me. All that's wrong with the world and how it needs to be solved, it all became crystal clear. All I had to do was listen. And I want that for you. And Moses wants that for you because Jesus wants that for you. All you have to do is listen to Jesus. This has been Christmas according to Moses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you so very much for your word that you have revealed to the prophets throughout the generations. We get your storyline that those people predicted things about the future that came true and they did miraculous signs, Lord, that only you could have done. And it's shown humanity what the real storyline is and what's wrong with the world. And we're all a bunch of sinners. We're all a bunch of sons and daughters of Adam. We've all eaten the fruit. We've all crossed the line, done things that you told us not to do, and as a result, we've wrecked the place, Lord. I pray that if there's anybody here who is yet to trust in the true storyline, that they would do so today. I pray that if there's anybody here who has never considered Jesus and all that you shared through him about how he is the one to rescue the world through his death, through his resurrection, that they would believe that story today. And if not, they would know without a doubt that you're going to hold them accountable if they don't. And I pray that if they want to explore this further, that they would read the Gospel of John this week, Lord. You would get the Gospel of John in their hands. They would read it and understand it like they've never seen it and understood it before. And they would believe that Jesus is the answer to all the world's problems, that only he can give eternal life and raise people from the dead and reverse all that's wrong in this world one day when he comes back. Lord, we long for you to come back, Lord Jesus. And until that day, we pray that us as believers continue to listen to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you say some hard things that we have to wrestle with and change and grow in. And I pray that we would stop this week and listen to you as well. We would understand the great gift that Jesus is to humanity. And really listen and pay attention. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.